You're listening to the Next Round Podcast with James T. Kaiser, the gaming beast and critical failure.
Dicks.
Yes, this is how it starts. Welcome to the Next Round Podcast. We got, of course, the ever-loving Retro Kaiser here and Critical Failure.
Heyo!
What's up, guys? Before we start, we gotta generate the name, as the tradition holds.
Ah, yes.
That tradition started by our Critical Failure, so let's go. And I generated the first thing. It's African Janitor of Magic.
Yes.
Wow. We might get like, oh, it's offensive.
I'm a janitor in Africa, and I find this offensive.
What?
I guess.
Anyway, this will stick. This will be the name.
There you go.
At least we will get some listeners.
Well, if anybody doesn't like it, we can always just say, well, we didn't come up with it.
No, right? It's the generator.
Yeah, we didn't invent that name.
No.
Yeah, blame Oprah.
Yep. Anyway, let's save that fast. Okay, so let's get this going. How you guys been doing? Whoever wants to start.
Things have been good. Busy, but good. I've had good video games in very small doses.
What video games have you been having in what very small doses?
Most recently, I was playing Garry's Mod again, Trouble in Terrace Town. See, Garry's Mod just became my first Steam game with over 200 hours in it, which I'm kind of proud of.
I've seen that, yeah. Congrats.
Yeah, I'm pretty happy about that. Apart from that, I've just been bouncing all over the place like a madman.
Nice.
I got to play Terraria on the PS3 with my son, which was pretty cool. Even though the PS3 controls for that game are awful, it was pretty cool to play split screen that game. Like with him, he was actually playing it and looking around and stuff. But it was kind of irritating because he didn't know how to put up torches. All he knew how to do was dig, so I had to follow him and put torches up wherever he went. Otherwise, he would get lost in the dark and get scared. Yeah, apart from that, I've just been, you know, trolling Steam, just playing whatever.
Right.
KF?
KF, yes, KF.
What about you, Kaiser? What have you been playing?
I'm just going to skip before that. I just released the new episode of Kaiser Records. Or take a look at the Spawn, the album.
Hmm. And what? Yep. What's there? What? How is it? Is it an
watch
album?
Watch the video and find out.
Watch the video, spamming the podcast.
So, what have you been doing in gaming-related news, Kaiser?
Who have I been doing in gaming? Okay. No, what I've been playing, a lot of Poker Knight. Poker Knight, the inventory, the first one, and the second one. I got them both when they're on, like, sale on Gamersgate for much cheaper than Steam.
Great games.
Yeah, I like the first one. I'm actually close to getting all the achievements on it. It's just the only achievements left I have is, like, you know, freaking random ones. I have to win by certain card.
Like, yeah.
Certain hands, which can be a bit of a bitch to wait for. But no, it's a very fun game. The second one is also really fun, but it gets a bit much at times because it definitely went from like Telltale characters to just Steam trying to get all their characters cameos. So it's characters do get in the way in that game.
Gotcha. Yeah, I'm 5 achievements short of getting perfect in that game.
I've also been playing Angry Video Game Nerd Adventure. If you rearrange the letters in the name, you nearly get vagina. It's one of those games that look very not fun when you look at screenshots, but surprisingly, it's not bad.
It's like made in the style of an NES platformer, which would make sense with the nerd. Since most of the games he reviews are
I don't know if anybody remembers this, but
NES 2 years ago,
there was also another Angry Video Game Nerd game released that played sort of like Mega Man, except you throw beer bottles instead of the power arm.
I've seen one that was a shmup, but it looked kind of lame. Or instead of a spaceship, you were the nerd with, like, holding his gun. It was... It might have been maybe a little bit, but it was a freeware game, so it's like, it's about right.
Gotcha.
But the thing that my biggest complaint about the game is, this game is full of cameos, and sadly, I find half of them pretty damn stupid.
I saw Angry Joe was in it.
I was like, sure, you can have cameos, but I'd much rather just have the Screw Attack crew in there, which would make more sense. My least favorite cameo is fucking Jim Sterling, man. Like, what the hell is he doing in the game?
What is he doing when you find him?
What is Jim Sterling?
Just stands around there with the Destructoid mascot, which I actually like the Destructoid mascot. Just I didn't like Jim Sterling.
Who's Jim?
Really?
Who's Jim Sterling?
He hosts a show called Jimquisition on Escapist.
Oh, right, that one, right.
Yeah, he's the guy who always ends his shows with "Thank God for Me."
Is Movie Bob in there? That's all I want to know.
I don't think Movie Bob's that famous.
No. The other characters they have is Black Nerd Comedy, which I don't mind. I actually like his videos. They have Ego Raptor. I don't think they had Jontron in there, which is a relief. They had Keith whatever his name is, which made sense. Screw Attack character.
Nathan Barnett.
Which made sense. Another one I didn't like was Pat the NES Punk, but
for a season
that
there.
Somewhat makes sense as well, because he crossed over with Angry Video Game Nerd, so I'm not 100% complaining about that one.
I am 100% complaining. I'm actually complaining about it 101%. And a half.
Because like the Nostalgia Critic, he takes it one step beyond.
In today's episode, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk shit about people who are really famous.
Exactly.
Yep. And if you're listening, Pat the NES cunt, that's what he is. Send your hate mail to Rabka's email account, he'll read it out on the Gaming Beast, because I do not want to deal with your shit, guys.
I do.
Like, they will listen to this podcast. I highly doubt that. Wait a second. Jerry's online. Ask him if he...
Jerry?
Jerry. Jerry's mod.
Jerry.
That would be an interesting...
Jerry's
game.
Mod. Good try.
Jerry's mod!
I like that.
It's like, it runs for a short time, but most of the year it doesn't run, because all the servers are down.
You see...
That's a bit of a low blow, isn't it?
Jerry might actually listen to this, so...
I know!
Ooh, it's like when somebody like says something on Jerry Springer and the whole crowd just goes ooh.
No, the only server that runs on Jerry's mod is the workshop mod called Kaiser's mod. That's the only active server.
There's like one crazy server who's still going.
There's cinema mode, but it only plays old B horror movies from the 80s and 70s.
Nice.
Here is an interesting question. I think we should discuss it to launch more discussions. Everybody ready?
Yeah.
Yes.
This is being read straight from the internet, so you know. Okay. I'm thinking about exploring the world of 80s CRPGs. Which games and series should I explore? There's obviously Ultima and Wizardry, but what other games/series would you consider essential?
Might and Magic.
Shadowgate.
Shadowgate is an adventure. That's not an RPG.
It also wasn't really a series.
No, it was a part of a series in a sense where it's not a series, but it's like there was a bunch of these type of games made by the same developer and they started on the Mac. So right. You had a bunch of games that were these first person adventure games where you like every room you had to like do something or whatever but it's not a series, really.
Yeah. Well, this isn't an RPG. This game's also not an RPG, but I do recommend the PC ports of Mega Man by that certain company.
That's like what? That's... Here's one response. So the guy says, "I already know about Ultima and Wizardry. What else?" And then one somebody's response: Ultima 4 through 5, Wizardry 1 and 5. Our first responses. Yeah, I know that. Let's move beyond that. What about the early Elder Scrolls games? Aren't those 80s? At least Arena.
No, that one is 91, I believe, 92.
Well, I would say The Bard's Tale.
The Bard's Tale. Mm-hmm.
That's a favorite of mine.
There's also probably Wasteland. I was here. And Might and Magic, as I said before.
Although, to
be honest, I would say start with Might and Magic 3. Because the first two are like super hard, and graphically, even for the time, they weren't, to say the least, impressive.
Well, the image he uses in his original post is clearly a picture of the first Wizardry from the DOS port of the original Wizardry.
Yeah, so Might and Magic looks basically like Wizardry, the first Might and Magic. The second one, too. The third one is the first, I think, has VGA graphics, the play is still... It's still pretty tough, but the cool thing was there was an expansion released, which basically added, like, a mirror world.
Yeah.
Like, that was under there, so...
Word.
I would have That's recommended cool. Knights of Zenta, but that was 90s as well.
That was definitely 90s.
I have never played that, actually. I went onto, like, Abandonware sites a couple of times looking for it. I never got a hold of it.
I have it if you need it.
I do, indeed. Very much so. Thank you.
Although, there's a glitch with the file. We have to click on Load Game and to load up the game right after the first scene, because it somewhat freezes during the first scene of the game.
It worked for me.
Plus, it has everything unlocked too, so you get to see all the naughty pictures.
Yeah, it was
naughty pictures.
It's kind of boring after a while, honestly.
What about shit? You know, I had a good answer in my head, but I forgot it while you were talking. Oh well, fuck it. Never mind. Video games.
You heard?
So how do we make out with Jerry's mod? Did that shit move up yet?
There's before we I've written him, but it's not responding.
I heard Jerry's mod was originally on Kickstarter, but it got a failed Kickstarter.
I told him we're in Mumble.
Okay, that was a bit low. Sorry, Jerry.
Dungeon Master is also a good choice. I'm using Wiki Magic, but I know most of those.
Wiki Magic. Yeah. I cast a spell. Wikipedia.
There's also the Gold Box D&D games, like Pool of
Radiance and whatnot.
Oh yeah, the Gold Box D&D.
They're very basic, but the cool thing is, it's like very, you know, if you want to play D&D, like very old school turn based.
Do you see that screenshot I put in into Mumble? I saw a game called Escape from Hell, which I'd never heard.
I heard of that. I haven't played it yet, but the storyline is literally you get into hell and you have to get out. It's a more obscure title for sure. I don't see the screenshot because check again.
I sent it to the podcast recording booth. You should have it. I on Mumble, not straight to your name on Steam.
Wouldn't you consider the Evil Dead game back in the '80s?
Is that the one
RPG?
With Helen of Troy thing?
Yes, okay. It is.
What did you say, Kaiser?
I said, would the Evil Dead game be considered an RPG back in the day?
Which Evil Dead game?
It's one where you have to defend the house against zombies. I guess it'd be more like zombie survival.
More like a horror, early horror survival game. Bard's Tale.
Didn't Star Trek get an RPG?
Alright, I know this is going to be unknown to you guys, because apparently it didn't exist to anyone else in the world but me. but there was an old game from Stuart Smith called The Adventure Construction Set.
I might know this one.
And it was basically, it was like a top-down... It was more of a roguelike than an RPG, but it was a tile-based roguelike, and you could build it and put in text and stuff and build monsters and those kinds of things. That thing definitely transported my imagination to a mystical world of fantasy on several occasions. That
mystical world of family.
Conquer the nation! Conquer the room!
Slay the evil witch, I guess.
Yeah, that and Text Adventures, specifically Leather Goddesses of Phobos.
Of course, the early roguelikes, including Rogue.
I spent a lot of time playing Rogue in my early PC days.
The roguelike I actually played the most is a game that I played when I saw my shitty laptop was Netflix. Oh, I'm an idiot.
Netflix.
NetHack.
I'm playing Netflix on my Wii. It's the best game ever.
NetHack.
So this is the greatest full immersion video game ever.
NetHack, because like it had. Like not really that much graphics, but
was NetHack in black and white?
No, this version. There's a lot of versions of NetHack because it's still being developed. This version I had was a Windows version that had a little bit more graphics. It was still very much, you know, top down. And I've seen a version which is even, it has a diagonal kind of thing going on.
I remember playing a black and white game that was kind of like Rogue called. I think it was called NetHack, but it was a long time ago.
There was
in a galaxy far, far away.
It may have been unrelated.
There was a lot of roguelikes. If you go to Abandonware sites and check role-playing games, there's a lot of games, and a lot of them are roguelikes of varying quality.
So
I've only played one roguelike.
The thing is, the guy saying '80s, he should have rather said like Golden Age, which would go from the '80s to like the mid '90s.
Yeah, but not everybody knows what Golden Age is. So saying '80s roughly, okay. I think prompts the expected response. Here's one I would say, the original Eye of the Beholder trilogy.
Yeah, the first one actually came out in 91. You see, that's the thing. So, but
not on the PC.
It says here 91 MS-DOS,
really?
91 Amiga, 92 PC, 98.
Wow, that's kind of shocking. That doesn't play like a game from 91.
It was, you know, one of the early. It was one of the when Strategic Simulation still did the D&D games. It feels more like an '80s game, but I think they were like sticking with stuff and engines that they knew. That's why it was actually a good game. But Dungeon Hack is an interesting one because it has similar. It uses kind of a similar engine like Eye of the Beholder. But all the levels are, and it's also, you know, real time like that, but all the levels are random. No, it's like, basically their idea was to make a roguelike, but in the first person.
I find it interesting that you used to see that a lot, the random level generation, and then like it disappeared for a long time, and now it's becoming a thing again.
Well, roguelikes are becoming a thing again. Like Dungeons of Dreadmoor is one of my favorites.
Oh, that game is great.
Hackslash Loot that you talked about quite often, and you even Let's Played. That one looks cool, too.
It's pretty cool. It doesn't hold a candle to Dungeons & Dreadmoor, but it is a nice little game. I think I got about 3 or 4 hours into it before I was done.
Yeah, but that's pretty good, you know?
Yeah, that's fair, I would say. Alright, so I'm gonna...
Yeah, Eye of the Beholder has gotten a lot of releases. And it's one of the more known old-school D&D RPGs.
Yeah, I think I would still recommend... To somebody who's into 80s CRPGs, I think I would still recommend that. Even though it's from the 90s, I would say it still feels like an 80s game. So also what I recommend, the early Elder Scrolls games. Not technically 80s games, but they had a lot of those qualities.
The Elder Scrolls games were directly inspired by the Ultima Underworld series, so...
Exactly.
Which is still very 80s.
So I'm going to go ahead and throw that up there. And I will find us another topic on 4chan. I mean, an unnamed message board for us to discuss.
Yes. He's hiding the name to avoid me going off at him.
Which reminds me... I don't want you to go off on me again. The next round wasn't, in its conception, wasn't an exclusively video games related website. So, you guys watch anything good on Netflix lately?
I started to watch Blackadder. I watched a couple of episodes as a kid, but honestly, that's the kind of humor that is more, I would say, applicable to adults. You know, it's just more. A lot of it, you just really need to understand and stuff, and some of it is there's a little bit of slapstick, but most of it isn't. So.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have a question about the humor. Does it make you feel good, or is it quote unquote dark humor?
There's definitely some black humor, I mean, but it's mostly like pretty lousy. It feels at times a lot like a little bit like Monty Python and the Holy Grail. It's less slapstick. It's more like word humor, I guess. Yeah.
That's also one of those shows where I recognize the entire cast for most of the cast.
Yeah.
You got a few Laurie's, sometimes a Stephen Fry.
You got Robert Atkinson, aka Mr. Bean.
Yep.
And,
very, star-studded.
Yeah,
cast.
Like if you think about, UK comedy acts, you will find, basically the A-listers there. Including, what's this guy? The guy who played the King of the Vulcans in Flash Gordon movie. Forgot his name.
What?
If you've seen the Flash Gordon movie, it's the King of the Bird People. I'll say his name in a second. Probably won't tell you anything, but...
I know who it isn't. I know it's not Timothy Dalton.
No.
The only Flash Gordon I have experienced was like a 90s reboot cartoon. There was a Flash Gordon cartoon in the 1990s.
Yeah. You mean Defenders of the Earth? Or no.
I can't remember what the subtitle was.
There was one that was from the 80s. That was the very first time I got to know about Flash Gordon was from the 80s. There was this cartoon called Defenders of the Earth, which it had Flash Gordon, the Phantom... Mandrake the Magician and some Lothar, some strong black dude basically. And they were all characters from these newspaper comics owned by King Features. So it was made by Marvel, but they were kind of like an Avengers team, but from those characters. And also the kids basically. All of this, they gave all the characters kids, and it was pretty cool actually. It was made
I remember the time when I went for that training cartoons where it had to be like Tom and Jerry Kids or James Bond Jr.
I remember some of the toys,
but I thought it was kind of lame because I liked, even as a kid, I thought the movies were better, but the toys were kind of cool.
Didn't James Bond Jr. order like milkshakes, shake and mustard, or like apple juice or
something like
that?
Really lame. Like, even as a kid, I was like, I think I got, like, maybe one or two of the toys because, hey, that's like Jaws and shit like that, you know? And I was like, but why is it not a James Bond cartoon? I don't want to know about his stupid nephew or something.
Who remembers the adventures of young Indiana Jones as well? Since we're
that was
I
cool, that. Though. That was I cool. That. Because it was him, but as a kid, basically.
In the first episode, it shows Indiana Jones is like a really, really old man.
I love that because he had like an eye patch and shit, and it was like for a long time.
Yeah, I remember watching that with my family.
I'm gonna watch. It's on Netflix actually. I want to watch it again, see how it holds up now.
You know, I think for me, there's certain things where it's like I don't want to know how it's aged, because I had an experience. Where I remember clearly watching and loving with my family the show The New Adventures of Lois and Clark.
Right.
With Dean Cain.
I watched that
and,
too.
Terry Hatcher. I loved that show when I was a kid. A year ago or so, maybe 2 years ago now, I bought the first season for my wife on DVD, and we watched a few episodes, and I was like, ugh.
I know. There's some things that are definitely that way.
But I loved it as a kid.
The show like that for me was Tales from the Crypt Keeper, the kids' cartoon version of Tales from the Crypt.
Right.
Remember loving it as a kid and watching it say, so like,
did we get that here? Because I never
I think Danger
show.
Mouse was one of those for me. I still like the intro, but I don't think I could watch a full episode anymore. And it's kind of sad because
Danger
that was
Mouse.
One of the shows that I liked as a little kid. There's probably going to be a ton of shows, but there's still a lot of cartoons that I still enjoy. You know, obviously, He-Man hasn't aged well, and, you know...
The best ones, I think, are the ones that we knew were ridiculous as kids. Because you watch them now, and then, like, you know, like, you just lose as much. Because you knew it was ridiculous when you watched it as a kid. Mm. And I think a prime example of that would be, like, the knockoffs of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Specifically, Biker Mice from Mars.
Biker Mice from Mars was awesome because... Because
was
it was
show.
From all the ripoffs from Turtles, it tried really to do something different, and it was just so, you know, as you said, it was ridiculous, and maybe that's why it still holds up, as you say, you know.
Did
it's
you
funny
ever
you
watch
bring
the
that
show
up
Bucky
because,
on Air?
It's funny you bring that up because it's funny you bring that up is because I'm actually reviewing one of those kinds of shows right now called Samurai Pizza Cats.
As a kid, I hated
I remember
that.
That show.
I always hated that for some reason. I watched a couple of episodes, but I never liked it. Because it was like... This was the show where I was a huge Turtles fan, right? Like, huge. I had the toys, I had fucking stickers, I had comics, I had everything pretty much that I could afford, I guess. Or you know, I even had the fucking Turtles van. That was my prized possession. You know, my brother, it was He-Man for him. Also for me, but I was really little. He had, for him, it was like the Castle Grayskull. For me, it was the fucking Turtles, man. But anyway, I don't think I watched Bucky O'Hare. I think I watched maybe one or two episodes, but really, we had the toys, you know. I had one guy who was like their version of Boba Fett, who was like a crocodile dude or something. Al Negator, and I loved that guy. So I imagined him to being really badass.
I only knew Bucky O'Hare because he was in a crossover with Speed Racer.
What?
What? Or was it Speed Racer was a crossover with him? I remember seeing it on a video cover. It was Speed Racer and Bucky O'Hare.
That's weird.
I'm not well versed in that show. I just remember it from when I was a kid. I wouldn't know about that.
It originally came from a comic book from the 80s, which they made then into this cartoon. Of course, the comic book was somewhat darker, but not much. You know,
that's not usually the case.
That's usually the case. You look at fucking TMNT, Turtles.
My gosh.
They fucking almost killed Shredder in the first.
No, they
comic.
Did. We had this conversation before. They killed Shredder in the first episode.
They do. But then
the first issue.
They somehow retcon him back or something. I don't know.
They talk about... I read this. I know this because, you know... I don't know if they do this where you're at, but, you know, Free Comic Book Day? They do that in Germany? Yeah. And Free Comic Book Day about 2 or 3 years ago, one of the free comics was a reprint of that first issue.
It's
and,
awesome.
The artists are talking about it in like a... what do you call it? You know, one of those things, like Forward? Yeah, the
right,
Forward.
Right.
And they said that they originally designed it as a one-issue story.
Yeah.
Teenage Ninja Turtles was supposed to be only one issue.
It's a parody of Daredevil, of the popular comics at the time, which were Daredevil and the New Mutants, which are like the teenage, at the time they were the new teenage X-Men. And they were a parody on that. That's why they're the teenage mutant, you know, Ninja Turtles. And they're fighting the Foot, where Daredevil fights the Ninja Clan the Hand. So it was actually a parody that for some reason got popular.
Are you, little did they know what kind of effect they would have on Saturday morning cartoons.
They're still making Turtles. This is like, now they have like the fourth or fifth Turtles cartoon
running
right now.
The 3D one that is on Nickelodeon, right?
Yeah,
I've got a few DVDs of that. I think that show is really awesome, personally.
Really? I don't like the look of it that much, but I might be persuaded.
No, I hated the look of it at first, too. I was like, but when I watched the show, they took all the good elements from all the past Ninja Turtles and combined it into one. So they took from the comic book, the M80s TV series, and even the 1000s TV series and combined it into one.
The 2000s TV series, the one which was the second animated. So technically this is the third animated show, but they had a live-action show that was horrible.
No, don't remind me of Na-Na-Na-Na Ninja, Ninja Turtles. Don't remind me of Next Mutation.
You know, as a kid, I thought the third Ninja Turtles movie is going to suck. Although the basic idea was cool, that they go back to feudal Japan. But, oh my god, Turtles look horrible. Everything was horrible about it.
They just recently released a series of Ninja Turtle figures based on the movies, like done in the style of the new Ninja Turtle one. So you've got Leonardo in the costume from Ninja Turtles 3.
Right. Ninja Turtles, the movie, when that came out as a kid, that was like my fucking... That was the greatest thing ever.
That was a really good movie.
You know, it's like... And
pretty
the cool
dark,
thing was,
too.
It was based off more of the original comic book than the... It had almost nothing to do with the cartoon series, you know, other than the things because... And honestly, as much as I did like it that it was based off the comic book, I still would have been happy if they would have added... Because originally they wanted to add Rocksteady and Bebop for the second one.
And we got those other fucking mutated dudes or whatever they were.
We got Taka and Razor. And I'm
is
like...
That what that is?
It was that turtle dude who was like more, you know, he had like spikes. And then you had the Wolfman dude.
Wolf snapping turtle.
And I'm like...
Come forth.
This was the compromise because the creators didn't want to have Rocksteady and Bebop. I'm like, why? They're like the fucking... That's something that should be taken over from the cartoons. Come on, they're Rocksteady and Bebop.
I actually liked the second movie. The third one I don't remember seeing, but every time I was a kid I said, hey, can we rent the third one? And my dad's like, no, that movie sucks.
That's funny.
TMNT 2, I actually wanted that movie so bad. It was like... before it was released in Germany, it was released in America, and my dad went to the U.S. Military base shop kind of thing, and he could get in because, you know, because he had a U.S. pass and shit, and he would get us a bunch of, like, books and stuff in English so we would read, and one I asked him if he could get the first movie. We had actually a VHS player that could play American VHSs, and we had a couple of movies. But he only rented it. There was like a video rental place, you know, those things that once existed. So
yeah, I remember this.
I remember when that came, when they brought that, I loved it. The German version, for some reason, they toned down the violence in a sense where they added goofy sound effects to the fights. And I'm so happy I watched the American version first, because there's also the unedited version of how, you know, when Splinter fights Shredder, and Shredder gets his blade somehow caught up in the nunchuck that it was Mikey's nunchuck, but Splinter was wielding it, and it was so badass. And he catches him, and then Shredder's about to fall into the trash compactor, and Splinter says something and lets him go, and I thought, whoa, man, Shredder's fucking toast. That's not the fucking cartoon.
Yeah, all it was missing was da-da-da, fatality.
Yeah.
I made it funny.
The thing was with... actually, a lot of people didn't like the second one. I still enjoyed it, but the first one is definitely the best.
I like the second one. I mean, at least as a kid.
As a kid, it's kind of embarrassing to say, but when I was a kid... We actually liked Vanilla Ice. I know. Whoa. Now I'm gonna get the
go ninja,
meal.
Go ninja, go.
And I
go
think that
ninja,
was one of the
ninja,
things.
Go.
You know, he somehow got himself into that movie, and he did the go ninja, go ninja, go. And as a kid, I thought that was actually cool. Now
it
still
is cool. What are you on about?
Opinion.
Anyway,
to be fair, Vanilla Ice is no Fred Durst.
Yeah,
that's true. I don't think I never remember like being mad at Vanilla Ice. I just thought he was kind of goofy.
Yeah, I don't even know what Fred Durst does nowadays. I just forgot about him.
Like, I heard one of his songs. I heard a new Limp Bizkit song on the radio a few months ago. I was like, this is shit.
Even for them, yeah.
Yeah.
I did like them too, sadly to speak, when I was a rebellious teenager.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know.
I want to give you shit about that, but I really can't, because a lot of people did.
Yeah, but going back to Ninja Turtles before we get into a shitstorm of white rapper, do you know what character I've always wanted to see in the movies when I think about it?
The embryonic rockabilly polka-dotted fighter pilots?
No, Usagi.
Usagi would have been cool, but that's a separate IP. He just made... It's one of the most well-known crossovers that actually made it to the cartoon and the toys,
right,
which was really cool, but he's still a separate license. But it would have been cool, instead of the traveling to the feudal Japan, having Usagi come to the Turtles universe, that would have been cool. But...
Word.
Or have some of the... Like, I don't know, there was a bunch of villains they could have used. There was this one guy who was like he just looked like a normal dude, but like he kind of reminded me of Batman villain. But he was just this. He looked like kind of like a hobo, but he could like command rats or something.
Ratman.
A hobo who could command rats.
That's weird, but Rat King, right?
Yeah. Where's Baxter Stockman? I'm surprised we didn't get him.
You know that in the original comic he was black and they made him white in the cartoon?
Yeah, and in the new Nickelodeon one they made him black again.
Yeah, because in the comic he was originally black.
Mm.
Baxter Stockman is something that is from the original comic, so...
Yeah. Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
I don't even remember.
When I was a kid, I was kind of pissed with Casey Jones, how at first, because I love Casey Jones, because he would, you know, beat the shit out of everyone. But he would never remove his mask, right? So I was like, under depression, in the movie he's never going to remove his mask, because I was naive, right? I didn't heard of FaceTime and shit like that. So in the movie, you see him for the first few seconds, he's got his mask, then he loses it, and he never wears it again. Granted, I thought he was kind of cool, but... And it was cool that he wasn't a movie, because you gotta have Casey Jones.
They just wanted Casey Jones to be just some guy.
Yeah.
Some guy who flirts with April O'Neil.
He did had some good fights, but, you know, Casey Jones was more of a vigilante, even in the cartoon.
Man, I don't know why they didn't bring him back for the future movies.
He's a wild beast you can never hope to tame.
I heard a rumor that the new movie made by the one and only Explosion Man. What's his name? The guy who made
the guy that directed the Bad Boy movies, Michael Bay.
Michael Bay. More like Michael. Yeah, you know.
Michael's Retro
Bay,
Game Review.
Bay.
I love that
What's
guy.
Wrong with gay?
Nothing is wrong with gay. That's why it has to be something wrong with Michael Lay.
No,
there
there's nothing wrong with gay.
Of course
gay translates gay means happy. Didn't you know that?
Anyway,
it
Michael
does.
Bay is making the new TMNT movie, and I heard there was a leaked script, and apparently he did the same shit with Transformers, where he took Casey Jones and made him like, you know, the guy who played Shia LaBeouf, the character.
Yeah.
So Casey Jones would be like a Shia LaBeouf, and the main character and the turtles would be like aliens and shit, and they would be kind of the Transformers only side characters, right?
Teenage Mutant Alien Turtles.
And I'm like. Now they changed that since then. And of course, what's her name? April O'Neil. It's going to be...
Megan Fox.
Yeah, Megan Fox. So I'm like...
Are you serious? I think the only person qualified to do the next Turtles movie is Uwe Boll.
Oh, God. He probably would do a better job than fucking Michael Bay, I swear. Yeah, I love his favorite comment when they asked him about Alone in the Dark. Yeah, I changed things up a bit because there weren't enough car chases, you know, something like that. And I'm like,
you know what? Do you know who I wouldn't mind making a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles film?
What?
Sam Raimi.
Sam Raimi would probably do a good job.
Yeah, I have to agree.
He would probably do it really cool, and his like kind of comic book style would work really well.
And there's that brings up another question for you. What character would you make Bruce Campbell? Personally, I'd make him a Baxter Stockman cameo as Bruce Campbell.
Hell, you know what? Bruce Campbell would actually make do a great Casey Jones.
Oh, he would, yeah. Too, wouldn't he?
Yes, he would. Fuck,
probably Casey Jones is somewhat inspired by Ash anyway, so...
He'd have to get in shape
again.
Yeah,
he's a little bit old, but I think if he gets in shape, I think it could work still. They could just make like Casey Jones has been like a vigilante for a couple of years, and that's why he finds the turtles.
He's a retired vigilante, and all he does is sits down on the couch, eats pizza with the turtles.
There should be a joke where he watches like Army of Darkness or something.
It's like groovy.
And he says like, they always think I'm that guy, but not really. My chin is bigger or something like that.
And then a sound effect plays that goes wham wham.
Here's another one. They fight Splint like Shredder, and Shredder removes his mask only to reveal that he's got Bruce Campbell's face.
And then the movie ends with Splinter going, "I made yet another."
I heard
funny.
Also that Shredder is gonna be like a white dude, and he's gonna be like a U.S. Army general, and he's gonna be called General Shredder. I'm not fucking
that
kidding.
Sounds such like a nice name, doesn't it?
It sounds like some fucking comic book villain from exactly from the 90s, but not the kind of good 90s, you know, the shitty 90s like the.
It sounds
didn't
like
we get
a crappy
a 3D
heavy metal
movie
band.
We like
are
5 years ago.
Shut up, Kaiser. What were you?
didn't we get a 3D Turtles movie like really recently? Like a 3D
that was the last one.
Yeah.
How was that?
I heard things that it was good. That they even it's actually a sequel to the third to the trilogy. I thought it's gonna be a reboot, you know, but this one is gonna be a reboot. So.
Okay.
But I don't know if we really need another Turtles movie, honestly.
Well, here's the problem with making a Turtles movie now. If they made a Turtles movie now, the goal of the movie would be to sell the Turtles franchise to a new generation. Which would mean that a lot of the stuff that we grew up with would just be abandoned or retooled for the new generation. That is to say, the new generation of kids wherein MTV no longer plays music, you know, and Justin Bieber is popular, and all the things we hate about
Justin
the world.
Justin Bieber is the new Casey Jones. There we go.
Yeah.
Baby, ooh.
The Foot Clan are Russians.
If the Foot Clan, exactly, but the Foot Clan are like Russians, and they don't wear masks. They just look like Call of Duty enemies.
The entire movie is shot from the first person of a dude holding a gun.
Exactly. Oh, God.
And the turtles aren't actually turtles. They're those guys that wear those, like, turtle shell looking helmets with different color nets around them.
Yeah. They need to put. Do you remember the Koopa Troopas from the Mario Brothers movie?
Yeah.
The really awful one. One of those needs to be in that movie.
It has to be. I remember as a kid, I was watching this. I was just like, "What the fuck is going on here?" You know, at first, I wanted to like it, but I was like, even as a kid, I was like, "Nah, fuck that shit."
I looked at the Koopa Troopa, and I was like, my immediate thought is that must be what the pixels on the game are supposed to represent. I was like, wait a second, have I been looking at it wrong?
It's actually, you know, the Koopa Troopas are actually not the they're actually called the Goombas. And the guy who's supposed to be obviously Bowser, just the dude with the weird hair, is actually called Koopa.
Yes.
So they couldn't even get the...
That's because that's what it was called in the cartoon, King Koopa. They were going off by that, I'm presuming.
Yeah, see, here's the thing. Why my memories are jumbled of that movie. Because I never saw the movie, but I did get one of those children's picture books about the movie. I don't know if you remember those. They had a book sale at my school once, and it was like they tell the story of the whole movie inside of like 8 pages.
I remember like those quite vividly. I remember those that had cassettes with them where they would actually tell the story, and it even had sound effects and like and what I would have scenes from the movie, you know, recorded on a cassette but shortened, and they would tell the story through the book and the cassette, and they would kind of like help you read. I had a ton of those. I had even one for A-Team and Gremlins. Gremlins, for crying out loud.
Oh, wow.
And that's for kids, for Gremlins. That's why the funny thing was, I knew a lot of these movies before I even seen them, but through these cassettes and books, and in my imagination, I imagined it more grander and shit. It was weird. I had one for the Dark Crystal, of course, Star Wars. Anything that was popular in the 80s, a bunch of them I had, because my dad would get them, so we would learn and practice our English, basically. And I remember the one for A-Team. There was also just some stuff that was just not movie-based, like Robin Hood and, what is it, Davy Crockett.
One's based on Golden Books?
Yeah, I had also one, I had a bunch of those, weird.
Golden Books? You don't remember Golden Books? Those are more children's books that like were incredibly truncated and very short.
Right. Mm. I think it's the same.
I used to have a whole stack of them growing up.
It's probably the same one. I'll look for the name, the exact one, but...
We buy all used stuff for my son, so we have a bunch of Golden Books.
Hey, Critical, there's a Golden Book you should look out for. Like, one of the... Like... They were releasing new ones even back in like the late 90s, early 2000s. And the one I remember clearly was the one for Pokemon, the first movie. They released a Golden Book based on that.
I probably had Golden Books like that. I had a bunch of different children's books, just in general. I just liked reading. Also, I was read too by my parents and shit, by my brother.
You know really what little... I used to have growing up? I used to have books on tape of the Goosebumps books. I tried looking for those on eBay, and I can't seem to find any, because I'd like to, get a whole bunch of those and rip them and just play the audio.
Ones, the books on tape that I had, I have still a lot of the books, but I don't think I have almost any of the tapes anymore. I think I might have a German one based on DuckTales, because I was also really into DuckTales, you know.
Oh!
Good times.
Dude, I just remembered something. Those books and cassette tapes you're on about, which they come with, like, clips of the movie, but shortened, I've got one of those, but on vinyl record. It comes with the book and the vinyl record. I've got it of The Rescuers.
I think I have a couple of... I have one from Rescuers, too. I had one, at least, but I think we had a couple on vinyl record, too, but I lost those, too. Or we just... I don't know. We just gave them away or just lost them. I don't know.
You know, they still release stuff like that in stores, but they all come on CDs now.
Yeah, in Germany they do still. Like, audio plays are still popular for adults and kids. And also,
Word.
Of course, not just audio plays, but also the...
Oh, do you remember how...
The audio
do you remember how they
I
had
have
the read-along...
Not finished.
The
I wanted to say... Sorry. I wanted to say
Dicks.
Audiobooks now. There you go.
Dicks.
Shut up. Dicks. Great dicks. I also remember all those tapes things is always like the turn the page.
Yeah, I remember that. There was one from the UK, I believe, which was called Storyteller or something, and it had a bunch of fairy tales, new and old. Those were pretty cool too.
How are we doing on time?
We are 48 minutes, so we can wrap it up soon.
Wow, that's not bad.
So we've been talking about that stuff enough. We're talking gaming. Came from Netflix, for crying out loud.
I got into Red Dwarf on Netflix. We never got around to that, so what I've been watching.
Awesome. Yep.
It's funny.
It's a good show, and it holds up well, too.
It's a great show.
Obviously, like, the special effects are, like, dated, but it's really about all about the comedy and the,
humor.
The humor. And
character.
And honestly, I love the old-school look of the shows anyway, so...
Smeghead.
You know what's what I find? Smeg, yes, yeah, smeg this smeghead. And smeg that. What I find interesting about that show is that the story is actually incredibly sad.
Yeah.
But it's the tone of the show is very much a feel good show.
Yeah, it's weird because I thought the same way because he woke up and everybody's dead and like. It's just so fucking depressing, but somehow it's like this kind of like he's like the guy who doesn't give up and
yeah, it's once in a while you see these moments where like he has like a flashback of all his friends in the I don't know, like I'm gonna say the word cafeteria, but you probably call it something else, mess hall or something like that, and they're all drinking and having a good time, and then it cuts to him alone with his beer glass. So there's like once in a while there are these little moments where it's like, wow, this is a really sad show, but then it cuts back to, whoa, look at me, I'm tripping and falling on stuff.
It is the fucking cat too, which I love. He's
Especially love the origin of the cat people too, how it all started with them him bringing a pet.
I love
cat
their
on
religion.
The
That's the best part of it. It's the funniest shit ever, you know, and it's a. How? Because he said he's gonna have a hot dog stand in that island, and then
and Fiji's
and
Fiji's all flooded out in that time.
And the freaking the cat priest. Oh shit! I don't know if you've seen that yet.
Yeah, I saw that one. Yeah, like the paper hat,
was
the donut,
just fucking
and stuff.
Awesome! Like, how he was the cat priest there, and like, it was too good.
And I also had that touching moment of the cat priest losing his faith.
Yeah.
Only for Lister to come up and help regain it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what I love about it that it's like they came up with so many cool science fiction stories without ever like bringing up aliens. It's the funny they always say, "Oh, is it an alien?" It's probably not.
They had the last one I saw had an alien in it. The polymorph episode.
Oh, that where episode where they dressed up that robot guy as a
He's technically
Cop.
Not an alien. Yeah. He is something that evolved. And anytime you see something like an alien, they have other races, but they are all created by humans in the past. So they kind of cheat their way through that, you know? So it's kind of... It's technically an alien, but technically not, so...
But it didn't come from out of it has earthly origins.
I also love when I kill off some characters, they just bring them back as holograms too. Like one of the best lines a hologram said is like, "This is a hologram. He can't touch anything but himself." And the hologram goes, "Just like my sex life."
I remember that. It was Rimmer actually himself. Yeah.
Another line I loved is, "Why don't you listen to classical music like Mozart or Motorhead?"
Motorhead, yeah, I caught that. What's funny was when they said that line, there was no laugh track. Like that line was played really flat. Like it was just something random that he said. Like the kind of thing that like the crowd expected it.
Which
to make
season
perfect
are
sense.
You on? Because I don't want to say anything to spoil it. Okay.
I think the third one.
Oh, you got still great moments ahead of you. But the first, it starts out very strong and stays very strong, pretty much. They had one that was 10 years later in 2009, where they had a couple of special episodes, which is considered a new season. And now it was so popular that they last year made a new season. So yeah, they
really?
Kind of come back a couple of years and make something new. So.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I recorded an episode of Back to Earth a few, like, the other month on TV.
Yeah, that's the last season, but they actually made a new one after that.
Yeah, you know what the sad part was? The part that I caught on it was the ending credits.
Don't spoil it. Anyway.
I'm going to spoil one thing. It has ending credits.
Oh, shit. Well, now I don't want to watch it.
What were you saying?
It's cold outside.
It's the kind of atmosphere. Yeah, the problem with watching like 10 years of television in the span of a month is that you have a lot harder time watching the actors age.
Yeah, that's true. I think.
Because you get to like I'm looking at a publicity photo of the crew taken in 2009. And it's like, wow, you remember last week when they were all really young?
Yeah, they you know, obviously age because it's like fucking between the season before, you know, the one from 2009, the last one was like, it was literally, I think, 10 years or something. So, yeah, 10 years you will see it in a person. But, it's, you know, they just truck along and do it well, so.
One thing I've noticed about this season is like, you can easily tell which season you're watching because the credits pop up, like, instead of saying series, it goes, pops up Red Dwarf, then it pops up with the number in the behind the logo, like Red Dwarf 3, Red Dwarf 4.
Right. Anyway, what have you been watching, Kaiser?
My brother actually bought the box set to the complete Babylon 5.
Oh,
so
nice.
I've been watching that.
Cool. What have you been thinking about it?
Very cool.
I'm loving
it's
it.
It's a great
man.
Show.
It is. I love, like, but the thing is, when I watch it, like, this could work as a great space sitcom as well. There's so much, there's a lot of charm in that show, like, the way the different races interact
with each
other. It's like
Star Trek, but it also feels a little bit more human. And the writing is really good in that show.
And I just love as no matter what race you are, you're always afraid of women.
Yep. My favorite is the
I like the dude
yeah,
with
the
peacock centaur, hair, dude.
The Centauri, what's his name again? Not Linear, that's the other guy. Molari. He always says, Mr. Garibaldi.
Yeah.
He talks like a fucking...
But you can
Lugoshi.
Definitely tell it's a 90s show though, with so many effects. Yes. There's like this one episode I saw. It was like this big gigantic robot cyborg that which I dubbed Mega Man, and he zaps these people, right?
Yeah.
They zap these people,
that's
right?
Just
when
what
they
I call
when
it.
When they investigate the death scene, all they see is two big burnt images of the bodies on the wall and ashes on the ground. But it's actually pretty good for early 90s 3D. It's from like I think 1990. It's from 1993, but it looks like it's something from 1997.
The CGI was really, really good at the time. Now obviously it's dated,
yeah.
But other than that, like the masks and stuff still look really good. And they.
I mainly watch it for the character interaction because it's got some really brilliant
writing.
Yeah,
the guy
the
who wrote it, J. Michael Straczynski, is a really good writer, and he wrote. The first four seasons of the five, and it's basically his brainchild, and
the box set that I'm watching has all the TV episodes, but it also has all the movies as well.
I haven't watched the movies yet, but I hear you know it depends on what you don't have to watch them for to follow the main plot line. You know, if you just watch the series, you're fine. But they just made it because there was a time when the show was really popular. And the whole reason J. Michael Straczynski, he did the show because he had the idea to lower the cost of these sci-fi shows like Star Trek. Most of the action takes place in one set, which is the space station, you know. Yeah,
makes it feel more like a play.
It feels at times like a play, but a really good one in a sense, you know. And
yeah.
I think once I finish with Red Dwarf, I'll probably start watching
that. If you
want to
have a good sci-fi, that's a
and
good
yes,
show.
And yes, Darabka, me and my brother are looking for the Farscape seasons as well.
You should watch Lex first, finish Lex first, because then it's going to be interesting to watch Farscape.
Yeah, I think I might just end up buying the box set of Lex, because I can't find that disc anywhere! But I'm pretty sure I've got it ripped on my hard drive, so I'll be able to watch it sometime.
Still got to watch.
Yes, I'm talking about pirate copies here. Yarr!
Yep. Anyway, I think we're pretty much done here, unless anybody has something else to say.
I blew $80
on.
I blew $80 on a Michael Jackson vinyl record. You'll find out more about that on a future episode of Kaiser Records.
Wow, listen to you, king of the cliffhanger.
We are at 59 minutes and 20 seconds. My goal is to finish at 60 minutes. So, okay.
All right, I'm done. Goodbye, next round.
Still 30 seconds. Kaiser? Okay, we still have, I know this is really dumb, but I want to do this now. This is like really dumb. But we have 10 seconds, so say something, Kaiser.
I have a big penis.
Which is a lie. Goodbye, guys. Bye.
I'm going to go watch Red Dwarf.
Your last words, a voice.